Come on, we're getting better, amen. It's good to be back, Echo Church, with you. I was here in, I think it was June, in the summertime, and man, it's a lot colder today than it was in June. You know what I'm talking about? And so, great to be with you guys, and man, just love it. I feel like I'm home now anyway, and so we just are so thankful. And isn't it awesome to know that our pastors are just getting some much-needed rest? And first time in over a year as they planted this church, and man, when Pastor Chad reached out to me, I absolutely wanted to just come serve you guys and serve this church and serve your pastors and just love them so much. And so I know they'll be seeing this message. So Pastor Chad, Katie, we love you. We honor you. Come on, Echo Church. Can we just honor our pastors today? Amen. Yeah. And so it is Pastor Appreciation Month as well. And so man, your pastors work hard. They love you so much. And they've got some great pictures. I texted him. We were texting a little bit yesterday and just told him, so, man, love seeing the time, the family time that you guys get to have right now. It's awesome. So, well, I'm just honored to be a part of this series, too, and I love just what you guys have been talking about over the last few weeks. And so I'm going to try to do a good job, not try to mess this up too much, and share what's on my heart and part of week number three here in your series. And I have four things of that I wish I knew about God. And today I specifically want to talk about really one of the things that was prevalent to me when Pastor Chad asked me to come speak and share with you today is really something that I'm passionate about, and that is that God doesn't want us just to know him or know about him. He wants us to know him in a real passionate way. So it's not enough just to know about him, but to know him in a real passionate, meaningful way. And so I just want to open up with just a word of prayer, and then we're just going to jump right in. Sound good, everybody? All right. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the next few minutes that we just invite the power of your presence in this room with us today. God, we just declare that we need you. And God, we thank you for all that you're doing in this church, through this church. We pray over our pastors today, God, that you would be with Pastor Chad and Katie. We speak life and blessing and safety over them and the kids, and God, that they enjoy their last, Lord, couple days there, and Lord, again, that it would be a time of just refreshment for them. And so, Lord, move in us today. God, we need you, and just thank you, God, in advance for what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a good amen. Amen. All right. Well, you can really just kind of follow along, take notes if you want, and my notes will be on the screen with you today. But the heart of really, again, this message is that we come to a place that we know God passionately. We know him personally. And if we don't have God in everything that we're doing, then we might as well pack up and go. And so the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 29 that there's not going to be any flesh that's going to glory in his presence. And so today, if there's anything, again, that I can just get in our hearts and really get in our spirits today is just the simple fact, again, is remembering that it's not enough just to know about him, but to know him personally, to know him in a passionate relationship. I want to share this scripture in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3, and this will kind of set us up today as we begin to just kind of go forward in this message. And it says this, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. What I like about this is that Daniel was somebody that possessed a spirit of just excellence, that he cared. I believe one of the things about the spirit of excellence is caring about the details, caring about the little things. And something I tell our church all the time is, man, there's no task that's ever beneath us. If there's trash on the floor, man, we're going to make sure the trash is cleaned up, right? If the toilets are dirty, how many appreciate clean toilets today? Amen, everybody? And so we want to make sure the toilets, the bathrooms, and those things that they're clean, that there's nothing that's ever beneath us. But Daniel was in a place in his time in life where really, I think, leadership came looking for him. Because of, as Scripture said, his exceptional qualities, he grew with a passion and understanding of God. And the course for Daniel's life was very different because he had to make the decision that I'm going to embrace some values, I'm going to embrace some qualities that not everybody else is going to embrace. Not everybody in his time and his culture was going to embrace these values, but there were values and principles in Daniel's life that really caused him to set out and to look different from everybody else. And I think that's the thing that we've got to remember just as believers and followers of Jesus, that we have to be willing to not look like everybody else. We have to be willing to stand out and to stand out among people. And here's the thing that I know about God and just who he is, that God believes in character building, that he cares way more about our character than he does our comfort. And if there's anything that I know about the character of who God is, one of the reasons why he's passionate about that is because we are taking our character into heaven, not our career. And so God's really focused on building you and I into the man and to the woman that he has destined and called us to be. But character building is not something that you'll get a lot of rah-rah about. And you may not get excited. But when you're on the pathway of character, you're headed towards something. And that's something that I think it's important that we have to remember. And in the midst of character building, this is something that I think about, and this might be worth writing down just to kind of, I think, just begin this morning. And as you know, if we're going to be a people that's going to grow close as we can to God, and if we're going to be a people that is really going to make a difference in our cities and see, man, Avon and beyond in Indianapolis and the state of Indiana and beyond reach for the glory of God, man, God's got to be able to trust us. And so here's the question that I always ask myself, and this is where I think it might be worth writing down today, is can God trust me? Can God trust me? With whatever he has given me to do today, can I be trusted with whatever he's put in my hands today? Can I be found faithful with whatever he has called me to do right now? And I think that's a huge question that maybe you and I, Maybe you can answer it right away, maybe you can't, but I think it's important that we understand that we are all on a journey going somewhere, that all of us have different things, and our journeys look a little bit different from each other, and all of us have our issues. How many know you got some issues? I got issues, you got issues, we all got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue, all right? And so just reminding us this morning that we are all at the same place. We're working towards some things, and so it's so important that we remember that. But can he trust us? And again, when we look at the life of Daniel, and if you get more time in, go read the story of Daniel. That whole book is really a powerful book. But he embraced qualities and principles, again, that were not real popular. A lifestyle that he embraced that was godly. But it resulted in him being promoted. It resulted in him having incredible influence. It resulted in him having great favor. And so I believe we must be a people that are driven to be more like Jesus. Can you say a good amen to that? And one of my favorite scriptures is out of John chapter 3 and verse 30. And it's one of the greatest prayers that I think was prayed from John the Baptist. And he simply just said this, that he, meaning Jesus, must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Would you read that verse with me this morning? Come on, everybody. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. All right, one more time, I can mean it with some real strength. You ready? Come on. He must become greater and greater. I think that's a prayer that all of us need to pray. I think that's a verse of scripture that all of us need to have real close to our hearts. That God, it's not about what I want, but God, it's about your will being established. It's about what you're trying to do in me. It's about the character and the maturity that you are wanting to grow me in. And so I believe that Echo Church is a church that seeks God's presence. And I believe that our hearts are only transformed when we are in the presence of God. That's why we have to understand that worship is not just an introduction to a message. Come on, somebody. It's understanding that when we come into the place of worship, it's a reminder to us that it's not about us, it's all about God. And even if I come in on a Sunday morning with some stuff, with some issues, because as we said, we all got them, I'm reminded in the area of worship how big my God is. And as I focus on how big my God is, it's amazing, as I worship God, how much smaller my problems become. And so that's why there's a lot of times that I love kicking on my worship, man. I may be in the car, And that's kind of one of my places when I'm going from place to place sometimes, or from a meeting to another, or just even when I'm in my office sometimes, man, just to bring a settledness, a peace. I focus better when I'm worshiping, because my focus is not about what I want. My focus is about what he wants, and my focus is about giving him the glory, giving him the praise. Amen, church? And so it's something that we need to continue to remember. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. This is out of the Message Bible, and this is really, this is a verse with a lot in it. And the Bible says this, it says, whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did. Now, something you need to understand about Moses is that Moses was somebody that sought God daily. He was one of the few that also saw God face to face. And can I just tell you about one of the characteristics of God and just who he is, because he created us for fellowship. He created us for relationship, but he loves it when you and I pursue him. God loves the fact that you are in his house today. God loves it when we take next steps. God loves it, man, when we take what he's given us and we tell others about it. So it says, whenever they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil. What is the veil? The veil in the Old Testament, it really kind of signified a few things. It kind of represented the law for some, but specifically it was a boundary or it was a restriction that kept people from encountering God. And so it says God, he removed that though, and there they are face to face. And they suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. In other words, God is real, not just some good idea, all right? And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation that we just talked about a second ago, is recognized as obsolete and we're free of it. Everybody say we're free of it. And so it's understanding, again, and we're in a series in our church right now that I think is real helpful. And the message I talked about last week really is the difference between the God of relationship and the God of religion. And because God is not a religious God, he's a God of personal relationship. Religion isn't going to save you. Only a personal relationship with Jesus is going to save you. Amen, everybody? And so if we're going to know more about God, and we're going to know him, not just know about him, again, that's the whole thing of the principle of today that I want to get to us, is not just knowing about him, it's not enough. And I think this is one of the most important things that we need to know, but it's knowing him personally. Here's what I know, and I want to give you a few notes that if you're writing down that you can jot this down. The first one is this, that we need power, not just words. We need the power of God, not just words. For some of us, we're facing things in our life today that are bigger than us. We have problems. There's circumstances that, man, unless God moves with power, I'm not sure if this is going to change. And so we go through sometimes seasons and difficulties where we need the power of God. We need more than words. We need God's power. I'll never forget, it'll be 10 years ago this December that I was fighting for my life. I was on my deathbed in December of 2008. And right after Thanksgiving in November of that year, I just had this, just started out with this normal kind of cold thing and just kind of scratchy throat, coughing, fever. But man, it just progressively got worse and worse and worse. I should have brought the picture today. They did take one picture just because my family knew it was going to turn around as a testimony in Jesus' name. But it wasn't looking like it. And I'll never forget, as I was weeks in a coma, the doctors, my wife tells the story this way, that the doctors brought in the family, and I wasn't responding to any of the medicine, any of the treatments that they were giving me. They couldn't diagnose what was going on. I'd been totally healthy up until that point and just was inflicted, man, with just sickness in my body. And I'll never forget, as the doctor, Bethany told me this, as the doctor came in and after the he met with the family and just said, you know, just told them it's time to really just know that things are not turning around. And unless we see some things here soon, you need to start preparing for his death. And at that point, my wife was almost 9 months pregnant with our first child. And it was just an unreal time for our family. And as you can imagine, I look back in that season too as well, and I'm thankful for church family. And this is one of the great things about being a part of a church, is to have family and not doing life alone, by the way. And it's crucial in our walk, because in that time, man, our pastors, man, leaders, people in our church just, man, served our family so well. While my family spent, you know, hours upon hours in that hospital, man, they came and ministered, made sure they were fed. I'll never forget, man, ladies in the church went and just grabbed groceries just for my wife, just to make sure home was taken care of. But there I was, in a place needing a miracle, that words were not just cutting it. I needed the power of God to step into my situation. And I just want you to know today, no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, God is still a healing God today. He is the great physician, and he's still doing miracles in our life today. Can you say a good amen today? And we need to believe that, and we need to take God at his word. And so I'll never forget, after that news, my wife called our family together, told our pastor at that time, and those that were in our church, said, I really want to pray for a Christmas miracle. And I'd already been in a coma for weeks at that point, and so this was a big faith step. And so they just began to pray and to fast, and man, they'd have prayer times at the church and just believing God. And it was on that morning of Christmas 2008 that, man, I woke up on my own out of that coma. And I responded, man. They took off the life support, and all of a sudden I was breathing on my own. And as that began to progress, within 5-6 days, I believe it was, just a full, complete 360 turnaround. Well, man, yeah, give God the glory for that. Amen, everybody? And God came and healed my body. And I'll never forget when I went in to the hospital, right before they put me in ICU. I remember I was just enough coherent, but I remember the doctor looking at us and saying, man, this has the potential to get real wicked. He used that word. And then I got out of that, and I remember my last day before the doctor discharged me. He came back in, and he said, man, this was wicked. And he said, but there's somebody up there that really must love you, you know. And I said, well, I know who he is. And I just was bragging on my God to our doctor at that time. But that's a situation where we needed the power of God, not just words. Are you with me today? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 and 5, it says, I came to you, Paul talking here, in weakness, fear, and with much trembling. My message were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's, there it is, power. Everybody shout power. So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Here's the other thing I know, that if we're going to get close to God, if we're not just going to know about him, but know him, we need an experience, not just an explanation. We don't need a religious experience. We need a personal experience with the power of God. And once you experience him in a personal way, relationally, man, you begin to grow in such a way that you trust God, and you learn as you grow in your faith. And this is part of maturity. And some people don't get to this point because, again, they just know about him. But God has so much to him that he wants to take us where we're at to where he wants us to be. You know, and part of our church and our vision, it's knowing God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. You guys say a little bit different here, which is cool. But the part that many Christians get stuck at is just the, well, I know God part, but there's still some things that are on the inside of us, whether it's bondages or sins or things, strongholds that are holding us back, that God wants to see true freedom come in our life. And the only way that's going to happen is by going on a radical pursuit for God. I don't know about you, but man, I'm so thankful that even when I'm at my worst, even when I wasn't running with God, that God was always pursuing after me, that he's always chasing after me, amen? And his love never stops chasing after us. And I'm so glad there's nothing you and I can do that can separate us from the incredible love of God. He is so incredible. His love and just who he is unfathomable, and so much to experience with God. And here's one of the things that I just know is I don't want to serve a God that's just reduced to the size of my brain. In other words, well, if I can't figure him out, then he's not worth serving. No, I need a God that's bigger than me. How many want to serve a God that's much bigger than you, right? Amen, that goes beyond the size of my brain. Because if not, man, he's a little God in that place. But when he goes beyond the size of my brain and he does things beyond what I could ever comprehend, man, he's a God worth serving, because he's a God full of strength, full of power, full of healing, full of might. And that's who he is. And religious leaders in Jesus' day were trying to trip him up. That here they came to a man that they really just kind of cornered this man that just received a miracle, just had an experience with Jesus. And now they're wanting to frustrate the man, and I'll show you this verse, who just got healed, and hoping to get Jesus in trouble. That was the whole purpose of this. And the Bible says this in John chapter 9, verse 17, and then verse 25 we'll look at. It says, finally they turned again to the blind man. I said, what have you to say, man, about this Jesus guy that just healed you? And he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see. This man didn't have an explanation of what happened. He had an experience with the power of God. And I'm telling you, for some of us, that's what we're needing in our life. We need a personal just experience with the power of God. I'll never forget, my mom many years ago was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I was a young boy at the time. It was just me and her, as a single mom. And she worked two jobs. And man, was just working so hard to always provide. And I'll never forget that news that we got. And I was about 15, 16 years of age. And when we got that news, for me, it just hit me in just such a tough way, because I saw, obviously, not only the news, how it affected, but I saw what was leading up to the news and how she was doing physically. And it was horrific on many levels. And I'll never forget one of her last MRIs, and when she came back home, that they said they've got to do some type of surgery and to remove this tumor. But the outcome of it could cause a couple things to happen. And it could cause her to go completely deaf, could also cause her side to go completely paralyzed and droop for the rest of her life. And I'll never forget when she got home, I was all she had, and I'll never forget, we sat on the couch, I remember this like it was yesterday, and she shared that news with me. And I said, well, Mom, what do you, here I am just a teenager, I said, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? What's our response? And she said, well, son, she said, our response is we need a miracle. We need God to move, because I don't want this surgery to happen. And I thought, amen, all right. And so for the next several weeks, before she did any follow-up before that surgery, man, my mom just got a hold of God. That's one of the things that my mom, man, I'm a mama's boy, all right, proudly. Any other mama's boys out there, all right? I don't care if I'm the only one, that's fine, all right. But anyway, and I'll just never forget, man, she's always been a woman of faith and just prayer. She posted scriptures all throughout the house and just even a few in her car. That way, everywhere that she was turning, she was always speaking life. And I'm telling you, scripture has it. God says it best, that death and life are really in the power of our tongue, Proverbs chapter 18. And so we just chose that, man, we're going to believe God for a miracle. And we're going to trust him. And we needed an experience with God. And we needed, how many know, again, the power of God to come through. And so they scheduled for a follow-up appointment, and I'll never forget this, and they did one final MRI, and so she went that day, and we just said, you know what, Mom, regardless of the outcome, God is good. God is good. We don't know why everything is happening. We're not going to get stuck in the whys of everything, but we're going to trust regardless. We know the heart of our God that is good. I'll never forget, she got back home, and it was about a week later, we got a phone call, and they said, Miss Mills, we just want you to know no surgery needs to be scheduled. There's no more tumor. We can't find it anymore. And I'll never forget. Yeah, isn't that awesome? And listen, I share that with you today in some of these stories to encourage your faith, to continue to encourage you to know that you serve a good God, but he is a God to be experienced, that he's full of strength and full of power, and he's capable of handling anything that you and I are facing today or will ever face. And I'm so thankful for that and to experience the power of our God. Here's the other thing that I know, if we're going to know him more, not just know about him, is we need presence, not just practice. We need presence, not just practice. In other words, I mean, you can have great systems, and I've told church planters this, and I've had the honor of coaching a lot of church planters through the last few years. I said, man, you know, guys will ask us, well, man, what's the key to growth? And they'll ask all these things. And I said, well, it's systems are great, lights are great, video is great. It's nice to have all these things. But I said, but if you don't have the presence of God in your services, you might as well go home. I said, because here's the key. The key is the power of prayer. I love that you're getting ready to go into a series on prayer, because I'm telling you, that's the secret sauce to everything in our life. Is more prayer and just seeing God move. We can get in such a high, fast-paced society and culture because we live in it that we end up kind of going with that. But man, when we really set that time to say, man, I'm going to focus on what it is that God's wanting to say to me. I'm going to focus on what it is that God's wanting to do in me and what he wants for my life. I'm going to seek him first. Why? Because I need the presence of God, not just practice. Man, I need his presence everywhere that I go. Because ministry without the presence of God is nothing. We're just showing up, in other words. But unless God, and I tell God that every weekend when I preach and even when I came here. God, unless you show up today, we'll just stay home. But Lord, we thank you for showing up today. We know that you're going to move. We believe, and we know, God, as we step out in faith and we believe together that you're going to show up. How many know we need God to show up? We need God to show up because we are nothing without his presence. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence." Being in his presence, knowing him personally, there's joy. You know, we live in such a time where, man, it's hard to turn on the TV anymore, isn't it? I mean, just so much, there's just negativity and just the news, the chaos of things. But, man, when you're in a personal relationship with Jesus and you know him, you'll know about him, but know him, there's a joy and the peace that Scripture says that the world cannot give you. And while everybody else is freaking out, you can be at perfect peace because of knowing who your God is. Amen? And knowing him in a personal, real way. Happiness, I've always learned this, is based on just happenings. If it's sunny out, I'm happy. But if it's raining out, I'm not happy. But man, I don't want my happiness and my joy being based upon circumstances all the time. And that's the thing about having a relationship with Jesus, is it's an internal thing. It's an internal. God's always focused on your heart. That's why whether it's, come on, snowing or whether it's raining, I can be full of joy and happy. Why? Because of what God's doing on the inside of me. Are you with me today? And so I want us to just look at this verse in Matthew chapter 13 because I want to see us just go further. How many would say, man, I don't want to stay where I'm at in my relationship with God. I'd like to go a little bit further. Come on, let me see some hands. Come on, work with me today. Yeah, and because I believe that should be all of our heart. There's a place within us that we're just not comfortable with where we're at, but for some of us, maybe we need to get outside of the comfort zone and allow whatever it is that God's saying or wanting to do, and we need to open up to that. We need to open up to maybe even the understanding that there is more. Maybe some of us don't realize that, but there is more. There is more in this journey. There is more in our relationship than what you and I have currently experienced, and I'm so glad that there's more. Everybody say, there is more. And so what I want to do is, for the last few minutes of this message, I want to just kind of, in just a loving way, if we were just at the house together, I don't know about you, but kind of Indiana Hoosier style, you know, we just, the way we do it in our family and our reunions is when we have our get-togethers, family reunions, you know, we do the barbecue, we put the, you know, the chicken is next to the taters, and the taters is next to the green beans. It just kind of all is mushed together. We just eat it. You know what I'm saying? And so we just kind of having a good time with a little slop on our face this morning. We just going to have a good time here for the next few minutes and just talk. Is that cool? And so I want us to look at this verse here in Matthew chapter 13. It says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but not never perceiving." Let me help you on this. You say, man, that's not real encouraging, Pastor. Let me help you with this. Sometimes, listen to me, our previous experiences can limit us from God's best in our life. And I've seen this. In other words, man, I've heard this before, or man, and what happens is when we allow our previous experiences to limit us, man, walls begin to come up, and it could even be how you were brought up. It could be maybe a hurt, maybe a pain that has allowed our lenses and how we're seeing things to become skewed a little bit. It goes on to say, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." That's the heart of a loving God. God desires to heal you and I of whatever it is that we're facing. Whatever maybe your past church experience has been like, he wants to bring healing to your life. Whatever walls have tried to stand in the way of you and God, God wants to bring healing and tear down those walls in our life. I love a quote that D.L. Moody said this. He said, "I firmly believe a great many prayers are not answered because we are not willing to forgive someone." I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be the cause of why God's not moving in my life. And here's just what I know. When we carry the weight of in the burden of unforgiveness and bitterness and of what somebody's done to me, man, it is toxic to our life. And it can become toxic to even other people and can really affect even relationships that God wants to bring in our life because we have a problem being able to trust anymore. I truly believe personal wounds and personal hurts are some of the greatest challenges that we face relational hurts on this side of eternity. And I just know that wherever you are at today, that God wants to bring healing to your heart. And not allowing this to get in the way any longer of what God is wanting to say and what God is wanting to do. Are you with me, church? Amen? And so so I want you to open up your heart and to know that God wants to bring healing. God wants to help. You know, a lot of people look at forgiveness as saying that what that person did was okay, and it's actually, that's not the truth at all. Forgiveness is releasing that hurt, releasing God to be able to handle that person, that situation. And it's not saying it wasn't okay, because it wasn't okay. But it's giving God the permission to move so he can be God and you can continue to go on and be who you need to be. And that's the trust factor that we have with God. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, such a great verse, it says this: sow for yourselves righteousness and reap the fruit of unfailing love. And break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. That unplowed ground is really a representation of the walls and the issues that we've maybe allowed within our heart to keep us from God. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but I just... when I was praying about today's service, I just felt like, man, there's some people that need to allow God to plow up their heart and allow some freedom and healing to come in, because it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. And I just want to do something just right here in this moment. I'm just going to pray. I want to pray over our hearts right now. Is that okay, everybody? So, I know that's not normal maybe, but I just think just right here in this moment in this service that God wants to touch somebody's heart and bring freedom. So God, I just ask you right now in the name of Jesus, God, I know that, Lord, wounds and issues and things that happen to us and even relationships with people, God, that we can allow bitterness and unforgiveness to just grow in our hearts. But today, Holy Spirit, we can't do anything without you. I'm asking, God, and we just release the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this place right now. God, for you to touch our heart, for you to maybe even for some of us, and maybe it's just helping to make us aware that we need to make some adjustments in our heart and in our life. And God, the only way that we can do that is in your presence with you, with us. We can't do this on our own. And God, I pray that you give that person today, that man, that woman, the courage, God, to make the adjustment, God, to release, to begin to acknowledge and to release, God, forgiveness, so that you can bring healing to their life. And so, Father, we just thank you for the healing power of our God and your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. And so I want to give you a couple things that I think is going to keep our heart and just plowed up and free if we'll just continue to focus in our God, on our God, because God wants us to make room for him. So number one is this, is there needs to be, and I think this is so important, a level of desperation in your heart, wanting, in other words, wanting God's way. That God is looking for people who are not just content, but he's looking for a people who are desperate. And is there anybody today that says, man, I'm just not satisfied where I'm at. I want more of God. I want to see God do more. Amen? And God is, I believe, raising up, and he's desiring to raise more people up who want more of him, and to see him move in our lives, to see him move in our families, come on, to see him move in our schools, to see him move in our cities, to see him move in the state of Indiana and our nation. How many know we need a move of God? And it's important for us to be a people that stay desperate and not just get content with things and how they're at. Because God desires to do more. I love this in one of my favorite verses, Jesus talking here in Matthew 5, 6. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be, everybody say, filled. If we are hungry and we thirst, come on, for more of God, Jesus said, then I will fill you up. But we've got to stay hungry for God. We've got to stay passionate for God. We've got to be in a place that we recognize even on Sundays. You know, it's something I tell our church a lot from time to time, and even all of our dream teamers that serve is, man, outside of a Sunday, when you think about the context of your week, man, there's really no more of a greater day than a Sunday to make an eternal difference like you and I get to make on a Sunday than any other day of the week. We get to make that kind of a difference in the lives of people using our gifts and using what God has called us to do. And I'll never forget, when I was real young in ministry, I was 13 years of age, and I'll never forget, I was invited to go eat lunch after services with some pastors, and I'll never forget, as I sat there, I was more just like, man, I just kind of feel like the ugly boy at the prom. I'm just glad to be here, you know what I'm saying? I'm just glad to be here. I was supposed to be funny, but anyways, you can give me a courtesy laugh, it'll help me, all right? There we go. And so, nonetheless, there I was, and I was sitting, and man, it was just incredible. I was just taking it in. I thought, man, what an honor. But then one of the pastors across the table from me, he just looked at me. He said, Kyle, I said, what do you want to do with your life? What do you feel like God's called you to do? And I mean, just without hesitation, I said, I'm called to pastor. He said, oh, really? I said, yeah, God spoke to me when I was 9, and man, just had a strong God encounter, and I know this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And he just looked at me, and he said, well, can I just encourage you? And then I told him, the other thing I told him within this, which is important, I said, you know, I want to begin preaching in my teen years. I just am believing for that to happen as a teenager. And he said, well, can I encourage you maybe to look for something else to do with your life? And I thought, say what? You know, I just looked at him. I thought, man, you a pastor. Like, what's up with this? And he just looked at me. He said, you know, it's just too difficult. He said, I just think you'll be a lot more happy in your future family if you just look to something else. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And my heart was beginning to sink. And he said, and man, nobody will have you in as a teenage preacher, so you might as well forget that. Those words were said to me. I mean, I could tell you where the restaurant was, the city I was in, where I was sitting. I mean, it was just that. And then, can I just tell you, just had a God moment in that restaurant. I'll never forget this. Now, you may think this is wild, but I'm telling you, God will move in ways sometimes that you could never comprehend. That's why I need a God that's bigger than me. Are you with me? And I'll never forget, I was sitting there, and he kept talking, but all of a sudden, I'm telling you, his lips were moving, he was talking, but I couldn't hear a thing he was saying. And I heard the Spirit of God speak to me as a young 12, 13-year-old boy and said, but Kyle, that's not what I said to you. And it was almost as if, it's the only way I know how to describe this, it was almost like God put like earmuffs over my ears so I wasn't hearing what he was saying. I'm sure a good brother with a great heart, but man, he was telling me exactly what God, the opposite of what God was telling me. And it was just a moment I'll never forget, because when God gives you a word, you hold on to that word. And he will open doors that no man can shut. And by the way, I started preaching and traveling as a teenager at the age of 14. Go God. Amen, everybody? And let me just say this, that when all you have is his word, that's enough. He said it, that settles it. Amen? Here's the second thing, is humility. If we're going to know God, not just about him, but know him, humility. And that is just essentially this wanting his will. If we want God's presence, we can't allow our pride to get in the way. And I think sometimes as men, we struggle with this. We're taught from when we're young that to take pride in our skills and our talents, our abilities, our successes. And the reality is everything that we have comes from God. In everything we have and do, God always gets the credit. He's called us to be great stewards. We're owners of nothing but stewards of everything. And when we give him the glory and the credit, you know what that is? It's worship back to him. That's exactly what it is. I've known pastors and business men and women, man, that have had great giftings, great callings in their life. But because of character flaws, they didn't have longevity. That's why whatever process, listen to me, church, that you're going through today, it's important to God. And know that God sees it. He sees everything. And you've got to trust the process of where God has you and what he's trying to do in your life. Because I'm telling you, there's purpose in it and what God is saying and what God is doing. But what happens is there's this, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are gifted. They're greatly gifted, but they don't have the character to sustain them. And your giftings will take you places that your character can't keep you. That's why character and character building is a necessary part in growing in our faith with God. Amen? Because God is way more concerned about growing that. God is not, listen, when we talk about character building, it's understanding this again, that God is not just trying to build you for a moment. God's trying to build you for the future. And we need to understand that's the heart of our God. And so there's an incredible moment here in Scripture where Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples. And it's a beautiful picture because it's one of love and humility and of ultimate servanthood. But then Jesus had a moment, too, where he struggled, where he cried out to God, that, Lord, there must be a different way than in having to embrace this cross. And then I love where he came to in Luke 22. He said this, yet not my will, but yours be done. This is a powerful prayer as well. There's a couple verses I've given you today that I think that are powerful prayers to pray. This one, John 3:30, because it's God, it's about what you want. Jesus came to that point. It's about what you want. It's not about what I want. Here's the final thing, number 3, I want to give you today, and that's repentance. Wanting God's work. Because here's what repentance is not. Repentance doesn't mean it doesn't just mean I'm sorry. Repentance is identifying what you and I have done wrong and then turning from that and going the opposite direction. So I'm repenting from whatever this thing was that was holding me back, but I'm repenting, so I'm turning from that and I'm going to the direction that God has for me. And I believe a heart of true repentance does nothing else but grow us closer and brings us closer to the heart of our God. And I think it's important that we remember this, church, that God isn't looking for you and I to be perfect. You need to know this. He's not looking for you and I to be perfect. He's looking for you and I to be honest. And I believe that's the importance of any relationship, don't you? That honesty is critical. Are you with me? In Psalm 51, David was in a place, such an incredible verse, where he was broken because David was just made some decisions that were not of God. And he said this to the Lord. It's such a great lament here in this chapter. You got to go read it. The whole chapter is just phenomenal. But he's crying out to God, and he said, God, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Here's what David understood. David understood repentance. He went through a lot, made a lot of bad decisions, but realized, man, I can't stay here anymore. I've got to run back to God. So he goes on to say, don't cast me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me, I love these verses, the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. No matter the hurt, no matter the pain, God is here. And he is near to you today. He promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, that you and I were made to love him. We were made to serve him. God wants to use us to make a difference in our life. And can I just say this? You were made for more than what you've currently known and even experienced today. And we have a saying back home in Fort Wayne at our church that I love just reminding our church from time to time. And I want to say this to you today, that it's never too late to become what you might have been. And I just feel like somebody needs to hear that. No matter where you're at, it's never too late to become what you might have been. Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for us. God, I thank you today, Lord, for the power of your presence, because I know that you're here with us today. And God, we just honor you today because you're such an amazing God. But Lord, today more than anything, we know you're here. And Lord, I thank you for the power of your love. And Lord, as we talk so much about in this message today, that Lord, it's not just enough to know about you. We want to know you. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to make your presence known. Not just here on a Sunday morning, but God, tomorrow when we wake up, then on Tuesday, and then Friday, God, at the end of the week. God, we need you every moment. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, for some of us, Lord, today, Lord, it's getting honest with you. And Father, I pray more than anything that this just wouldn't be a message that we hear, but God, it would be one that we apply, that there would be some just application, God, that we take with us today and realize, man, God's speaking to me today. There's some things that have been holding me back or keeping me from really pursuing and knowing him more. And I just come against the power of the enemy today, and I just declare, Satan, you have no authority in our life, no authority in marriages and families in the name of Jesus. And I just declare in the name of Jesus Christ that God, that you will flood our homes, flood our hearts and minds with more of you in the name of Jesus. And if you're here today, I just want to give you an opportunity to just, if you don't have a relationship with God, I'm telling you the greatest first step you need to make is knowing him. Maybe for somebody, this is brand new for you, and just discovering who God is. Or maybe even somebody here today, you need to recommit. Maybe you realize, man, my relationship has gotten cold, and I need to put God in first place. He needs to become the priority of my life again. In just a second, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand where you're at, and you can put it right back down. But just with every head bowed, all eyes closed, come on, just be bold with that. Forget about who's on your right and left. This is just a moment between you and God. Say, man, God, I'm placing you first again. That's what this prayer is going to be about. We're all going to pray a prayer together. On the count of three, if that's you, just slip up your hand. Come on, one, two, three in this place. Anybody says that's me? Yeah. Gotcha. Some hands going up. Awesome. Proud of you guys. And I want all of us, for those who raise your hands, to pray this prayer, but all of us as a church, come on, let's pray with these today that are making some decisions in their life. And just say this. Say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I'm living my life my way. Today I invite you to be the Lord of my life. Take control of my life and make me the kind of person that you want me to be. And give me the power to change. In Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said a good amen today.